Well, Lord, I pray that your word would be a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path, that we may hide it in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Amen. Amen. All right. Been spending a lot of time. Lord's had me in Romans 6, and so reading a lot of stuff from these guys who were part of the Keswick revival movement that lasted a really long time, still going on, about our union, our identity with Christ. I really like reading some of these older guys. But Romans chapter 6 is just such a foundational chapter because it's really about, it's not about our nature or anything, but it's more about an identity and just how we have to face daily, in temptation and how we face our, kind of wrestle with sin every day when it comes and presents itself to us, right? In whatever form, and all the aspects of that, and anger or greed or lust or all kind of stuff like that. But this, I'll just read a few verses here. Lack of time. And I may have talked about this the last time I spoke. I can't remember, but that's okay, right? I've been studying, reading it for about 30 years, so, and I'm still getting stuff out of it. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. Because how we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might now walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be a slave to sin anymore. For he who has died is freed from sin, right? Meaning that if you're in Christ, you have died with him, you are freed from it. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also now live with him. Knowing that as Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. And for the death that he died to sin. Now, it doesn't say he died for sin here. It said he died to sin, right? To its power. To its dominion in our lives. Once for all, in the life that he lives now, he lives to God, right? Knowing that Christ... I mean, for the death that he died to sin once for all. Life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves now to be dead to sin, but you're alive to God in Christ, because you're in Christ, you're alive. So it gives this kind of identity thing, and it talks about two things here that that he put to death. One was your old self. I mean, the man of old, right? The person you were before you knew Christ, okay, that person was buried. Now, he gives on this, in this particular chapter here, it doesn't talk about just that we were identified on the cross with him, which we were crucified with him, but the real emphasis on is being buried, right? Two things being buried. One, your old self, the person you were, the self of old, is dead. You're not that person anymore, okay? The second thing is your body of sin, right? The body of sin now also died. And there's a little difference in those two. And that's basically, I have it written down here. I got so much written in here. The body of sin is our body so far as it is, or as it was, the instrument of sin and the slave to sin. Right? The one that was the slave and instrument of sin is now dead. That body of sin, where sin was a master over it. You had no choice, right? You were enslaved to that, okay? He put that to death, right? It didn't say he put sin to death, because we know sin is still alive, right? But he put the body of sin that you used to give into all the time, where it was your master, he put that to death. So now, we consider ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God. And he's really telling us here, for lack of time, we can't do the whole chapter, but he's really telling us here how we are to face sin. And I want to read this because he puts it in these terms that we can understand it as being like a person, like a that was a master over us, that enslaved us, right? And this guy is one of my favorite writers, authors, Evan Hopkins, okay? And he's saying that this is like sin. When he comes to you, your old master, right? Therefore, it is as a person, with the view, of course, of becoming again your master. Now the question is, how are we to meet him when he comes again? Like, you see that as a kind of an analogy or a little picture of sin coming back to you, wanting to enslave you again. Okay? But how are we to meet him? You reckon yourselves or consider yourselves as dead to him. The moment that you begin to fight with him, that moment you cease to be dead to him. No matter how resolutely you may struggle against him, and the moment you cease to treat him as if you were a corpse, you stop, you know, you want to treat him like you're dead. The moment you cease to treat him as if you were a corpse, at that moment, you begin to know him as your master again, right? In other words, when he comes to you, if you try to engage him, right, he's going to win. The way you fight against it is just telling him, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. No longer. I'm no longer enslaved to you. I'm dead to you. For it is then when we forsake our true position, which is one of freedom from sin as a master, let it be remembered that we are to fight the good fight of faith, which consists in maintaining a position of freedom and not in obtaining that position. We are to fight not for it, but from it. He alone has obtained it. It is God's free gift. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the quality of life. Christ, first of all, places us there. Let us be fully abiding in that life, and sin, when he comes, will find us dead to him. A couple more scripture, when it says, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching which you're committed, which is here, right? This form of teaching. And having been freed from sin, you now are a slave of righteousness to God. Verse 22. Now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, or you get to eat the fruit of it, resulting in a growing in sanctification or Christ-likeness, and the outcome is eternal life. So just making this simple, if say you're united with Christ now, not only with the cross, but you were buried, the old self was buried, the body of sin where you had no choice is dead, right? And you've been raised up in union with Christ in a new life. So say anger comes to you, okay? That's sin. The old master that used to have you enslaved used to really give into anger all the time. And you're really tempted to give into anger. Okay? How do I fight that? According to Romans chapter 6, here's how you fight it. You tell it, I'm dead to you. I'm dead to you. And I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, I've been enslaved, which means you're now in union with Christ and his righteousness. That's your identity. That's who you are. I no longer have to give in to you anymore. Right? And no matter what form it comes in. Right? Fear, pride, greed, lust, when it comes to you, right? If we try to engage it, right, it's going to win. What Scripture says is you reckon yourself as dead to it because your new position in Christ is you are freed from it, right? And it's forever coming to you. All it wants to do is to become, put you under bondage again. But you know what? By faith, that's what it was saying. Christ, it's not something you're trying to obtain. You're maintaining a position that he's already put you in, which is free. Freedom. And faith keeps us there. Like, I don't have to give in to you. I don't have to give in to you anymore. I'm free, right? No matter what it is. That's how I fight it. Because you're fighting from a position of being in Christ that he's already put it to death. Okay? So, I don't know if that helps. We don't have any more time left, but that really helps me in my daily walk. When I'm tempted, you know, when you're, you know, around a bunch of kids all day, you're going to be tempted to be impatient and get angry, and just to stop and say, no, I don't have to give in to you anymore, right? No more. Because I'm now, and when you're means enslaved to righteousness, what this means is you are actually enslaved to the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness living within you. You're in union with, you're like that. That's who you are, right? And that means just to do the right thing. And so that's more powerful than the other because the other's dead. And so we do treat it like we're a dead man. We do treat it like a corpse, like he's saying, which is a good analogy. I really like that. I'm dead to you. No more, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.